It's time for the Las Vegas Sports Line, brought to you by the Sunset Station with sports director Chuck Esposito.
And here we go, the Monday afternoon quarterback edition of the Las Vegas Sports Line. I'm Dave Koken. Alan Harris from Doc Sports is with me in studio. Jared Justice, our producer. And at beautiful Red Rock today, it's Chuck Esposito from Station Casino, Sunset Station. Quick programming note, by the way. This is normally the home for all primetime football right here on ESPN Las Vegas. But tonight, there are two events taking place. So one of them had to go to Fox, and that will be the football game because this is also the home of the Running Rebels, and that always takes precedence on ESPN Las Vegas. So tune in right here for Abilene Christian at UNLV College Hoops. And if you want the football game, make sure and check out Fox Las Vegas, or Fox Sports Las Vegas, I guess it is. Okay, Chuck Esposito with us right now. Chuck, a good night for the Golden Knights last night, or good afternoon, early evening, if you would. Five straight losses. They really needed a game yesterday, and loved the way they played. They came out angry. They were very physical. That's the way the Golden Knights need to play this season.
It is. Defensively, they hadn't played well. Fleury had gone through a little bit of a bad spurt as well. It was a big home win for them. They've got the Leafs coming up. But after dropping five in a row, it was a game they really needed to win, Dave.
Yeah, and the Leafs coming in is a good chance to make it two in a row, because you want to talk about the most dysfunctional team in the league right now is Toronto, Alan. So the Knights have a chance to string something together here.
Toronto would beat the Rebels if that was the case.
Yes, but, well, not in basketball.
Probably not.
No.
Toronto is, just as much talent as anybody in the league, and like you said, dysfunctional to a T.
I could do 15 minutes on the Maple Leafs easily right now.
And a lot of the problems they thought were going to be goaltending, I guess, coming into the season,
it is
a question mark.
It is a
and
big
has been a problem. I kind of liked Frederick Anderson, I guess.
Well, he's fine, but they have no backup.
They have nobody backup. Their best backup's actually here. Sparks actually played okay for them last year, in a sense.
Everything's gone wrong. The Tyson Barrie trade's a disaster.
Yep.
Guy had 70 points last year. He's got 5 assists so far this season. This is a football show, so I'll stay off the hockey, but suffice to say, the Golden Knights will be favored over the Maple Leafs and should get a win.
It was nice to see William Karlsson get 2 goals. I mean, just shoot the puck, Will. I mean, I don't think he's a 45-goal guy, maybe like he was, but last year was, a total disaster for him. It seems like he was a little tentative, but now, shooting the puck, he's got 3 goals in 2 games. Just keep shooting.
Now, if you can't make the game in person, well, you can go out to Sunset Station and watch. And when you definitely want to be at Sunset Station is when the viewing parties happen on selected road games. And there's one coming up right around the holiday, Chuck.
It is. It's the 27th. It's Thanksgiving Eve. It's against the Predators. They're always free, open to the public. We give away some cool swag. And that's our next big viewing party. But they are a lot of fun, guys. No question about it.
How many men or women are standing, approximately, in the last man standing college and pro contests?
I believe there's 2 left in the college.
Ooh. Wow.
And 7 left in the pros.
Man, that's some big money on the line now.
Down to the wire.
Yeah.
Absolutely is. It's one of those weekends where, a few people had the Cardinals, and what a tough game that was.
Yeah, I guess so. The way the ending was just brutal.
Was it 9.5 on the contest sheet? Is that?
Yeah, I think it was
9
on the contest
half?
Sheet.
Okay,
yeah.
That's rough.
All right, well, let's start running through the games, and we'll begin with, look, it wasn't a great performance, but they had to win this game. This was a big game for the Dallas Cowboys. They could not drop to 5-5. They got the win against a game Detroit team that typically lost a close game. I don't know. I didn't get a buy sign out of the Cowboys in this game. Did you, Chuck?
No, but I think you look at Detroit and being, I think, 5th from the bottom as far as what they give up to quarterbacks. It was tailor-made for Prescott and Cooper and Cobb and Gallup, and that's what they did. I mean, he threw for over 440 yards. He had 3 touchdown passes. Those are just the kind of teams that they eat up offensively. Detroit got off to the early lead after the turnover. We had hoped they wouldn't have gone for 2 in that spot. Mm. Wasn't a great day overall for our side of the counter guys. Favorites went 8-4 overs. 7 of the games went over. So probably the best day for the bettors and the guests on the other side of the counter. The best Sunday, I should say, season to date. And that was just one of those games that for us would have much preferred a 7 opposed to where it fell.
Yeah, actually, there was a big, talk about them going for 2 in that spot. Yeah. I kind of agree with it.
I don't have a problem.
Yeah, You know, you know you need another touchdown. You need two scores. And if you got two chances to make your two to get you where you would be on the extra points anyway. So take a shot. You were a big underdog. You got a backup quarterback.
Yeah,
if you happen to go down there, again, you're kicking the extra point for the win. So obviously it didn't work out well for the books, but from a football standpoint, I kind of like to see they didn't give up and they were actually going for it.
I think there's, you know, there's analytics that show that. Yeah. And I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I thought the same thing with Carolina down by the two scores against Green Bay. And in those conditions, they had scored when they were down 14, and they elected to go for two and didn't get it as well. And the game fell 8. But, you know, we don't have to agree with it. It's based on what they think is best. But in both cases, it was not beneficial for our side.
The Jacksonville Jaguars got Nick Foles back for yesterday's game against the Colts. They got out to a quick 7-0 lead. Everything looked good, and then the roof absolutely caved in on them as the Colts completely took over the football game. Brissett is getting more and more regard as a legitimate, not just a guy who they, you know, is doing okay stepping in for Andrew Luck, but a legit first-string NFL quarterback who that's possibly could end up in the Pro Bowl. The Colts get a big win over the Jaguars. Very important game for Indianapolis as well, Chuck.
They did. You know, unfortunately for them, they lost Marlon Mack.
Yeah.
It looked like he was going to try to go because the broken bone was on the left hand, but it looks like he's going to be out for a few weeks now. T.Y. Hilton should be back. It's one of the better performances that Brissett has had without T.Y. Hilton. On the other side, though, it's all about running the ball. Number one, they can't run the ball, even with Fournette. And number two, they couldn't stop the run yesterday. They couldn't get off the field for anything. The Colts ran right through him. You know, I thought Foles played okay. He had the early touchdown to Chark, but when you can't run the ball, it puts a lot more pressure on that offense. Offensively, they really, really struggle not being able to control it on that side of the ball, and the Colts really controlled tempo the entire game.
And you mentioned the Mack injury. Jonathan Williams, no big deal, 13 carries, 116 yards, so looks like he's going to be able to fill that role no problem.
Well, we say it over and over again, with only a couple of exceptions. Running backs are very replaceable.
They are, and then you said you get a guy in the 5th round, you get a guy in the 7th round, you get a guy off the street. It's just, you know, as long as they're...
We've already talked about Detroit, but, I mean, Bo Scarborough, I even know he was on the team. And, you know,
yeah,
the way he played yesterday.
And he was, you know, a big name at Michigan who never got a shot in the NFL, so those guys are out there. You know, as long as you can hold on to the ball and hit your holes, they're, you know, you're going to get a shot, and it worked well.
The Minnesota Vikings avoided disaster yesterday. They fell way behind the Broncos. Pretty clearly, the Vikings came into the game extremely flat. But give them credit for a tremendous comeback in the second half. Minnesota doesn't cover the spread, but they did get the victory, 27-23 over the Broncos. That's a really important win for Minnesota. Not so much the win, but avoiding what would have been a horrible loss.
I think in both cases, I think they still wanted to keep pace with the Packers, and you're right, not avoid a loss. They have been so good at home, both straight up and against the number, since Mike Zimmer took over there. They fell behind 20-0, and then I think it was 23-7. So they had their work cut out for them. Offensively, you can really tell that teams are keying on Cook right now. Mm-hmm. Without Thielen, there was a lot more pressure on Diggs. I think he entered halftime yesterday with no receptions, just like he did the week before, but kind of caught fire over the second half. But kind of a big win for Minnesota in a game they had to win. Brandon Allen did not play bad. I think he's played much better, in all honesty, than Joe Flacco did before the injury. I don't think Drew Locke is going to be healthy enough yet to kind of get some work in. Allen's played okay, but I think at some point Locke will get a look before the end of the season.
Well, you said Allen hasn't been terrible, but just not really off topic, but with Denver, is John Elway's time wearing thin out there, or
I don't know, because
I know he's a Bronco. Exactly.
Yeah. You're hearing a lot of reports too with Fangio that he's not a real players type coach, and that he's having some issues with management as well and with his coaching staff. He was a great defensive coordinator. I think the Bears, you know, do miss him somewhat on that side of the ball. I don't think the defense has been nearly as effective with Pagano as they were with Fangio. But you have to wonder, you know, Joseph was only there for a couple of years. Is Fangio one and done, or do they give him a couple of years? But I think that's hurt as well, that he hasn't been able to find that quarterback or that coach over the last several years.
Well, the Baltimore Ravens have found their quarterback. He might be the MVP.
I'm not sure Mike's the word. I mean, yeah, I think he's going to be.
I can't tell you guys how impressed I am.
I mean, I am a Lamar Jackson fan. He's fun to watch. But more so than what he can do with his legs, it's that he's been able to create behind the line of scrimmage that when he does start to scramble, it draws both safeties and linebackers up. And he's been able to throw the ball. I mean, I thought when he came out, you know, they had talked about maybe converting him to a wide receiver. This guy is unbelievable. He dedicated so much time in the offseason. He comes across as a nice guy. He's a hard worker. But he has really transformed that position. But the way that he's been able to pass the ball, I know a lot of it's game management, but he looks like a really good quarterback right now. The way that that defense plays, you've got Edwards and Ingram who can run the ball, some young wideouts who are talented. They've really closed the gap because I haven't been overly impressed with the Patriots for a couple of weeks right now. I think the Ravens are a really good team, guys. Was not a good game for our side of the counter, but I think that gap is very narrow in the AFC.
Ravens absolutely killing the Texans in that game. I would say this on Lamar Jackson. He's got as much upside as Michael Vick had, and I don't think he's got the off-the-field emotional and legal issues that Vick seemed to have. I mean, his future is incredibly bright.
I think it's the first game that in Deshaun Watson's career that he actually lost a game by over two scores. So it kind of puts it into perspective of where he went into the draft and how high everybody was on him. And I still like Deshaun Watson. Don't get me wrong. I think he's, you know, if I'm the Chicago Bears right now, I'm thinking about Christian McCaffrey, Jamal Adams, Patrick Mahomes, and Deshaun Watson, who were all sitting on the board when I traded up a spot. But that's a whole other story. But I'm still a big Watson fan, but just think about that. With two young quarterbacks, and they make a case that both those guys were in the MVP discussion, how Jackson played and how Watson played yesterday.
So let's examine from a future book standpoint where the Ravens are right now, because I've got to believe there's some money showing up now on the Ravens to be the team that wins it all. Are you going to be facing a liability there?
Not a liability, but I can tell you that they're the second lowest odds that we have on the board after the Patriots, and that puts two teams in the AFC in that mix. I think when you look at the AFC, it's clearly those two teams, and there is a big drop-off right now to everybody else. I mean, you think about the Chiefs. If the Chiefs lose tonight, guys, the Raiders are actually in first place, only four losses in the AFC West. In the NFC, you've got so many teams that are bunched up there. If it's the way the Seahawks are playing right now, the 49ers, the Saints, the Packers, the Vikings, maybe the Cowboys, there's a lot more parity at the top. I think in the AFC right now, it's clearly two teams, and that's why you're seeing such low odds, I think, industry-wide on the Ravens.
Let's talk about the Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Two wins in a row as they go into Washington and beat up the hapless Redskins. I mean, this is a really easy win for the Jets. So let's look at, Alan, let's look at two things here. One, should the Jets be encouraged enough to look at this and say, yeah, we got some pieces in place that can be respectable down the stretch and we're ready to make some moves for next year? And the flip side on the Redskins, what do you do at this point? Do you just tear it down? I mean, Haskins has a strong arm, but I got to tell you something. I don't know if he'll ever be ready. I don't know if his skill set's there for the NFL.
All right, part one, they do have some pieces where, you know, going forward, you say, okay, you know, Sam Darnold probably can play in the league. I think he's shown enough that he's not going to be a bust, and as a guy you can, you know, he's a starting quarterback. They got some pieces on the outside. I don't know how long they're going to be there. Demaryius Thomas and Jamison Crowder, those guys played well yesterday. But you just have to think it's a game against the Redskins who, to the second part of your question, have nothing.
No.
They have nothing at all.
I think they're actually worse than Cincinnati.
They may be. Haskins just had... I was watching the game yesterday. My girlfriend's actually a Jets fan, so the Eagles weren't playing. We had the Jets on the big screen sound, you know, way to go. But Haskins reminds me of a guy like a Paxton Lynch, kind of, that he just looks so lost that a guy that looked that lost has never made it.
Well, I mean, if you look at the Ohio State quarterbacks in recent years, Chuck, you had the three-headed quarterback there. When they won the national championship, none of those guys are NFL guys. I don't think Haskins is either. I think he was surrounded by great talent, played in a terrific system for Urban Meyer.
Yeah, with a great coach, exactly.
Yeah, he's got a good arm, and that's about it. And obviously he's got good legs, but I just don't see him. You know, and I know he's a rookie, so it's not fair. But when I look at him, I just don't see a big ceiling guy.
No, in all honesty, he doesn't have good legs.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, I don't know if he
does.
Well,
okay, yeah.
He can't get out of his own way.
Right.
He's not a running quarterback at all. He didn't come into the league with that as, you know, part of his game repertoire.
Right.
It was more that he had that big arm. He's just clearly not ready. I mean, that has, you know, all the, you know, the signs of this is a Daniel Snyder move, that Bill O'Callaghan is just following what Snyder wants to do right now. Haskins, and it's not necessarily his fault. He's from that area. He's a first-round pick. They kind of wanted to make him the face of that franchise. You've got a young wide receiver in Terry McLaurin. You've got Darius Geis, who after, you know, being injured last year in the preseason, injured in game one coming back. So you've got some young pieces in place, but he's just not ready. I mean, that offense played a lot better earlier in the season with Case Keenum there than it is right now.
It's true.
I don't think they have a choice. I think that's the way they're going to roll. I'm not so sure that Sam Darnold's not a bust yet. I think you look at so many young quarterbacks. I think, you know, I watched Jared Goff last night. I was at that game. I don't think he looks good. We've talked about a little bit about Mitchell Trubisky. You look at Winston. You look at Mariota. You look at Mayfield. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of these young quarterbacks at the top that have really struggled over the last several years.
It's a hit or miss.
I'm convinced yet that Darnold has shown enough to say that he's going to be a legit bona fide quarterback that can take the Jets to the next level.
Kyle Allen is not going to take the Carolina Panthers to the next level. That was a nice little story for a while, but he's been figured out, and he's, I don't even know if he's a backup. I mean, the Falcons, give the Falcons credit. Their season's over, and they've played two great games in a row against the Saints and the Panthers. They just killed Carolina yesterday, ate up Kyle Allen, win 29-3. So the Falcons obviously are not throwing in the towel. And I don't know what Carolina does at this point. They're 5-5. But it kind of looks to me like their season might be over, Chuck.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Kyle Allen is a backup. I think he's shown enough. But like any young quarterback, and I thought Gardner Minshew, the same thing happened, that after 3, 4, 5 weeks of tape, defenses have that, and they're able to make those adjustments. I didn't think Minshew played great over the last 3 weeks. I think in their case, they knew Foles was going to come back, and they gave him every opportunity to be the quarterback who might continue to be the starter. But he didn't play well the last 3 weeks, and we've kind of seen that with Allen a little bit. I think it opens up a whole new conversation, because 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, it was kind of a foregone conclusion that more than likely, the way Allen is playing, they're going to let Cam walk. He's at a very reasonable $22 million as far as a cap hit goes for a quarterback at that level and as talented as he is. So it's going to present, you know, some issues for Carolina. I think teams now are just on the other side are saying, hey, Christian McCaffrey's not going to beat us. Let's go ahead and make sure we take him out. Can Kyle Allen do enough to beat you?
Well,
and with added tape out there and different schemes after they've seen it, he just hasn't been that same quarterback over the last few weeks.
No, and here's the thing. Allen, it clearly defenses are disguising coverage now, and he's not able to pick it up, and that's leading to some of the interceptions.
No, yeah, and
he's not seeing guys that are there.
But I'll be honest with you, I gained some respect for him a few weeks ago in that game against Green Bay. In those conditions, I thought he played really well. He gave the Panthers every opportunity to win. I thought that call in the end zone was horrendous.
It was a bad call.
It could have been a safety, intentional grounding and a safety that would have changed maybe the outcome of that game. Instead, it was roughing the passer, and I'm not sure McCaffrey didn't get over at the end zone at the end of that game. I thought he played really well in that game. So we had a couple of bad games, but I still think he's definitely a backup,
yeah,
and
I
think he's shown enough that maybe he could be a legit starting quarterback in pro football.
Yeah, at 5-5, you said, what do they do? Well, they're in the division with the Saints, so they're not winning the division. 5-5 is not a wild card record.
No.
Eagles are only in it because of the Cowboys are only a game ahead of them. But they need to do something with McCaffrey. They're running him into the ground. I mean, he keeps doing this. He's on pace for, I think, the most touches of any player in NFL history. At his age, running backs, their lengths, their lifespan is, you know, low enough as it is. I think they got to pull the reins back a little bit on them, especially if they're not going anywhere this season.
Let's talk about the game between the Bills and Dolphins. Buffalo had to take care of business yesterday. That was the main thing. Don't get upset by a Dolphins team that had suddenly found some life with two straight wins. And the Bills did what they had to do and got their offense rolling yesterday, and that's a good win for them, 37-20 at Miami, Chuck.
It is. It's a game they were expected to win. I think you look at Buffalo at 7-3. They're clearly in a good spot to be a wild card team in the AFC. They've got remaining games against the Broncos and Jets, but after that, they've got a really tough schedule. They still have the Ravens to play, the Patriots to play, and after at the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. So this is a game that, they needed to win. I like the way that Allen played there. I thought Josh Allen played well. They kind of beat up a Dolphin team. After a few wins, they came back down to earth a little bit. But it's still a good Buffalo team, especially on defense. Offensively, I don't think they do enough to be in the mix as far as the AFC goes. But still at 7-3, it's a pretty good story so far.
Yeah, I was on the wrong side of that game. I took the full touchdown with Miami thinking, you know, home game. They were rolling a little bit. New Buffalo kind of needed to get things rolling, like Dave said. Just thought they weren't going to be able to do it. Was impressed with Josh Allen. Didn't turn the ball over.
Clearly a game that the sharp bettors were on Buffalo in that game yesterday, guys. They bet that game up early and were clearly on the right side.
Chuck Esposito from Sunset Station. Station Casino's with us, always at Red Rock today. Alan Harris from Doc Sports is here. I'm Dave Koken. Let's check out a good performance by the New Orleans Saints, who were in a bounce-back situation off the bad game against the Falcons. And they did just that. They took advantage of Jameis Winston, who, as usual, had a bunch of interceptions. One of them wasn't his fault. It was just a really bad drop by the receiver. But the others were. And, you know, we've talked about this ad infinitum, but nothing's changing. The Bucs are going to have to make a move after the season. And as for the Saints, they looked every bit like what they're supposed to look like yesterday, which is a contender to win the NFC and get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, no question they had a stinker last week against the Falcons. I thought Kamara, Thomas, Breeze all played well. Defensively, they played much better. Got off to that big lead. I think Winston had, what, 4 turnovers yesterday?
Yep.
I think he's 6 away from tying Jake Plummer for the most turnovers ever in one season. So he's, you know, you're right. They're going to move on from him. But every game now, when you look at the Saints, the Niners, and the Packers, is so vitally important because of those two byes and the home field advantage you're going to get in the NFC, guys.
This game was much closer than the final score indicated and was a big game as far as money changing hands at the finish. The Arizona Cardinals and the 49ers, the Cardinals gave the 49ers everything yesterday, and the final score, a misleading 36-26 49ers.
Actually, I mean, it's you know, they played twice in 17 days.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals played really well in both those games. I thought, you know Garoppolo stepped up yesterday and played a good game. Niners have just had a lot of injuries. I thought it was a good spot for Arizona coming into that spot with Kittle hurt and Sanders and Bereda and Robbie Gold. They have a lot of injuries. And I know it sounds strange, but sometimes you can look at a game and the overall number and the way we look at a game, it's not one key injury, but it's an accumulation of injuries that are actually more effective to the other side than the one key injury. And you saw significant play in Arizona yesterday, and that number did come down throughout the week.
And we've talked about Kyler Murray before. I don't know what he's going to be long term, but like Dave said, they're fun to watch.
They absolutely are.
They're entertaining. He doesn't really turn the ball over terribly.
No, for a rookie.
Yeah, no, exactly.
See, you can look at some of these guys and
you see
and have
doubts. They're ahead of guys that have come out.
Kyler Murray is a no-brainer.
He's in a lot of games,
and you're right. He doesn't turn the ball over a lot. I think Drake's played well. They need to get better cast around him, but they're gonna be in a position to do so. But yeah, he's definitely fun to watch, and I think they're a much better team than what we thought they
Absolutely.
Would be. When you look at them, and I don't think anybody would have said before the season started that going into Week 12, the Arizona Cardinals would have more wins than either the Chicago Bears or the Cleveland Browns. I think they would have laughed at you.
Couldn't agree more. I thought they'd be a 2-14 type of team.
Same.
They're not only are they better than that, but they're in every game.
They absolutely are.
Kingsbury's not overmatched, actually, like I thought he was going to be. I thought he was going to be, making those first-year head coach mistakes, and he seems to be, wasn't great at Texas Tech. He was, kind of their savior, hopefully, and it didn't work out there. He got a job in the NFL instantly, so somebody thought highly of him, and he's been okay.
He was overmatched in the preseason. They kept talking about what we're going to see, and I thought even through the first month of the season, he showed some signs of being overmatched, but I really think you've seen some sort of maturation process with him and Kyler Murray, and they are. They're in every game. They're fun to watch, and I think as you get a better cast around them, I think they made a good trade with Kenny and Drake. It's obvious if Johnson's just not the same back, if it's the injuries, but Drake has played well in that spot as well.
The Patriots, Belichick and the Patriots off a loss. Yep, they won and covered.
And a bye.
Yeah, and New England goes into Philadelphia. It wasn't a great performance by the Patriots. I think they'd be the first ones to tell you that, but the Patriots find ways, and they get the win over the Eagles 17-10. I thought Philly had chances to put some distance between themselves and the Patriots early. Couldn't do it. And you kind of knew by halftime that you let the Patriots hang around and now they're going to get you beat.
Yeah, clearly not a good game for our side of the counter, guys. I think you looked at the Patriots being a small favorite throughout the week, and as that number continued to creep up, definitely one of the bigger decisions on the board for us was needing the Eagles. Helped a little bit that we were able to keep the game under. But, you know, I know it's off the bye and off a loss. I'm not still overly impressed with New England. They beat, you know, so many of the teams earlier in the season. If it was, you know, the Giants or the Jets and the Redskins, and the team that they were supposed to beat. Some of the tougher games now, I mean, I thought the Ravens really manhandled them and played well. As you guys said, the Eagles had an opportunity to kind of put some space there. I wasn't a big fan of the Eagles' play calling in the second half. I think Wentz had guys open downfield. He looks to me like he did in his first year where he was a lot of check down Charlie. He's just not looking and seeing the field. I think Trubisky has the same thing happen to him, and even sometimes with Jared Goff. They're looking at one target, and that is it. But not overly impressed with the Patriots. But again, they did get the win. They covered, and a really good game for the bettors on the other side of the counter.
I mean, as you know, as an Eagles fan, obviously, I don't think there's anybody that he needs to look down the field for right now on the roster. I mean, he knows Ertz is going to catch the ball. He looks at him first. If he's open, that's where it goes. Same thing with Dallas Goedert. But they don't have a wide receiver on the roster. Nelson Aguilar can't catch the ball.
He's just
no Jeffrey.
And Alshon Jeffrey, when he's out there, looks like a dad playing on Thanksgiving. I mean, he's done.
I'd almost line Miles Sanders up as a wideout when Howard's back,
yes,
and have them both on the field, a la what the Chargers have started to do a little bit with Eichler and Gordon on the field at the same time. I think Sanders might be the best offensive weapon they have as far as explosiveness and being able to make big plays from anywhere on the field.
And the Patriots, they kind of figured it out. They could have put some distance between the game too. They three field goals in the first half where they couldn't do anything. But
Philadelphia's defense played well, and
in a game where the Eagles hold them to 17 with the touchdown being from a wide receiver, that's almost a game you think the Eagles would have won.
No question.
But
the game we thought we should have won.
Well,
I can tell you that, guys.
Exactly. It's been going on for two decades. The Patriots almost always find a way. The Raiders were actually in a flat spot yesterday, and it kind of showed. They had more trouble than you figure they should have against the Bengals, but all's well that ends well for Raiders fans, and they could be in first place after tonight.
They absolutely could be. I mean, they fell behind early in that game. That, too, was a big game for us. We definitely needed the Bengals in that game. If we could have gotten the Bengals to win the game outright or the Cardinals to win outright or the Broncos to win outright, that really helps a lot. That wasn't the case, but having the Raiders not cover was a good game for our side. And, you know, I'm surprised. I mean, the Raiders, I mean, you look at the way they've played right now, you look at their record. After Carr, I think a lot of people outside of Jacobs would have a hard time naming any of their wideouts right now after what happened in the offseason with Antonio Brown. Chiefs have a really tough game tonight, I think, in Mexico City against the Chargers. I think the Chargers are made for that team, the way they can run the ball with Eichler and Gordon. And you've seen some of the struggles the Chiefs have had with other teams that can run the ball with two backs. But Raiders are a real surprise. And next week they travel cross-country. It's that, West Coast time zone, Pacific Coast time zone against the East time zone, against the Jets. They're the favorite there. Interesting to see how they react in that game. They're still the only team with a winning record that has a negative point differential, so they still could stub their toe at some point or hit that speed bump, but we could be talking about them going into Week 12 in first place in the AFC West, and who would have thought that, guys?
And here we go. The Bears with another real clunker. On Sunday Night Football, they were in the game against the Rams. I thought, well, look, Trubisky can't play. All right, he's just, in this offense, he's useless. And I think Nagy has surpassed Kitchens as the uncoach of the year. I thought his game plan last night was awful. I thought his strategy, I mean, you got six or 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. You got a third and one at your 35, and you're throwing the ball down the field. You got to run the ball there and get a first down. And you have to go for it on fourth down, by the way. Miserable coaching job. And the Rams happened to be the beneficiary. I did not see a good Rams football team last night, Chuck, but they did get the win.
They did. I was at the game last night, guys. And you're absolutely right. I thought the Bears defense played really well early in the game, created the two turnovers. I thought they were clearly the better team. But when you've got, you know, your kicker misses a 46-yarder in the first quarter, and then after that they get the ball back again, and Nagy, I don't know if it's his way to send a message to Pinheiro, who he gave a ringing endorsement to today, which is a surprise. He decided to go for it on 4th and 9 from the 31, which made no sense against the Ram defense. Got the ball back again, and he proceeded to miss another field goal. So they easily could have been up 9-0 in that game, even without a touchdown. But you're right. Drubisky, I think the era's over in Chicago. Yeah. I don't think he was that banged up. I think, again, it was Nagy just deciding to make a move.
That was really weird.
After they scored the touchdown, too, when they had that, the score was 10-7, and they were driving, they had that, like, option-type play on 3rd and 1 that lost three or four yards. Just didn't understand that the whole play calling at all in that game. I don't think Chase Daniel is the answer. They're having trouble with their kicking game. Their quarterback, although he gave him a ringing endorsement again today as well, and said he's clearly our quarterback moving forward.
Yeah, they don't have any choice.
Taking a move at kicker. They've got to be, I think, right now, the biggest disappointment in the league with what the expectations were coming into this season.
I still have this one question. It's been the same question all year long. I'm not saying Mitch Trubisky is Lamar Jackson with his legs, okay? But he's a quarterback who can create things. He's really mobile. And yet they keep him in this, I guess, kind of a West Coast-style offense where he's in the pocket. He's just a terrible fit for that offense. You have to adjust your scheme to fit the talents of your quarterback. And they've put Trubisky in the worst possible position all year. So it's made him look even worse than he is.
Well, I mean, he's got the worst drop-off in quarterback rating, guys, from last year to this year. You know, two other quarterbacks in that mix are Jared Goff, and one is Marcus Mariota, to go along with Andy Dalton. But you think about the top three guys in that mix, were all a first or a second overall pick. I think it shows you how difficult it is to play at that level. And I agree with you about Trubisky. I've been saying it for weeks, too. He just doesn't look comfortable in the pocket at all. He throws off, you know, the wrong foot. He throws across his body. He throws across the field. The play calling is so predictable. When they can't run, he continues to try to establish the run on first and second down. He's got guys open over the middle. He throws a flat ball that gets batted away. Those sideline passes are atrocious. I don't know what you do. I mean, I can't see any scenario where they decide at the end of this year to pick up his fifth-year option for the following year. He really isn't a good quarterback. And as I mentioned earlier, I mean, if you're the Bears, and, you know, they continue to show the graphic last night, you had Jamal Adams, Christian McCaffrey, and then Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes sitting on the board, and you traded up and gave draft picks for a quarterback that only had 13 collegiate starts under his belt.
And played in a conference and on a team that played all offense and no defense. I mean, it was just...
You see the difference with putting your quarterback in a position to do well? Like, Josh Allen is not a good pocket passer either, but the Bills are getting him on the outside.
The Bills have designed the offense to fit him.
50, 60 yards rushing a game. He has a rushing touchdown yesterday.
Right. Yep.
Trubisky, they're just sitting him back there. And like you said, the throw across the body, all that stuff. That's mental stuff. Like, those are things that you would think that he would learn, and he's just not.
They're making... If his potential was still there, they're ruining it. They're killing his confidence by putting him in an offense where I don't think he could ever possibly succeed, because he's just not a pure pocket passer.
You're right about, you know, when you talked about Josh Allen and his legs. I mean, there was, and even the Cowboys have designated a run.
Yes.
For Dak Prescott, the quarterback bootleg. I mean, there was a play last night being there. It's like when they ran that kind of option play, had he faked that pitch and rolled the other way, he would still be running today. That's how much room was on the other side. Why they don't see that and try to create that for Mitchell Trubisky, I don't get. I mean, everyone talked about, you know, Matt Nagy being that type of coach who can change it, and, you know, coach of the year last year, and Ryan Pace was GM of the year. It's gone exact opposite. I don't really fault that defense at all. I know you lose Akeem Nicks and Hicks and Danny Trevathan, and that defense hasn't been the same. They're not nearly as good with the turnovers as they were last year. But when you're on the field so often with three and out and such a differential of time of possession, you can't fault that defense for not being the top defense in the league. That is solely on the offense, and their offense is not any good.
Tonight, it's the Chiefs and Chargers in Mexico City, and if ever, to me, there was a game that you want to maybe wait to see what the field conditions are like and what the game plans are in that high altitude and do something live. Well, if you've got STN, you can do that. I mean, this is a perfect game to me for in-game betting.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything bad about the weather like last year. It's an interesting game, though. I think there's a lot of pressure on the Chiefs. They lose that game to the Titans. They haven't been very good defensively all year. I remember that game against the Texans several weeks ago. Every time I looked up, guys, Duke Johnson and Carlos Hyde, who aren't exactly two top-tier backs in the league. They're good backs, but they're not elite. And every time I looked up, they were getting 6 and 8 yards, a chunk, just chewing up that defense. You're talking about Melvin Gordon, who's, a top 10 back in the league. He looks to be back to himself. Eichler, they've got the recipe. They've got the tight end in Hunter Henry. You've got a big wideout in Allen. You've got another one in Williams who are good. That defense is good, too. I think the Chargers have the ingredients to be competitive in this game and win a game. There's a lot more pressure on the Chiefs than there is on the Chargers, and that number continues to go up. I don't know if it goes up any higher, but if it goes up another half point or so, you got to think there's tremendous value at that number on the Chargers tonight.
And you can bet the game live or beforehand if you've got your mobile device all set up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we love when the guests come out and experience everything we have to offer at all of our properties, but STN Mobile brings that sports book to the palm of your hand, and even when you're in the book, and we have a lot of guests that there's crowds and you don't want to maybe lose your seat or you're in a good spot, you can just, log on to your mobile app and play from the comfort of your book, your living room, wherever you might be throughout the valley tonight or anytime, especially now when it's arguably one of our busiest times of year, when you've got college and pro basketball, college and pro football and hockey going on, as you mentioned earlier, with the Golden Knights. This is, you can make a case that with all these different sports going on, this is our busiest time of year, guys.
There you go. Good stuff, Chuck. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Stop out to Sunset Station and say hello to Chuck Esposito. We'll take a quick break. We'll get an angle of the day from Ralph Michaels coming up, and we'll look at a couple of games tonight later on, the marquee matchup.
Hello, friends. This is Thomas Johnson from Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab. Need a great idea for lunch or dinner? Your best bet is Joe's, one of the most popular dining destinations on the Strip. Joe's provides the ideal setting for private parties with accommodations for up to 150 guests. Stop by to see us at the Forum Shops at Caesars and ask for Thomas Johnson, your maitre d'.
And Joe's Angle of the Day brought to you by Ralph Michaels. He's the one who provides all this information. And tonight in hockey, the Washington Capitals playing host to the Anaheim Ducks. The Capitals are 12-2 to the over when they are a home favorite. The Ducks 10-4 to the over as a road dog. So if those current trends hold, you might get some goals tonight in Washington.
Surprised to only see a 6 on that one.
Well, the Ducks, the Ducks don't want to get into an up and down race with the Capitals.
They're not going to win an up and down race with the Capitals.
They might not be able to help themselves, but we'll wait and see on that. Alan Harris here from Doc Sports. The Rebels are at home tonight against Abilene Christian. And by the way, I'll mention we're going to sign off a little earlier than usual just so we can make sure everything is straight in terms of the technical stuff with Steve Cofield, because we're going to be down there for a long time with a pregame show and Cofield and company in leading up to tonight's Abilene Christian UNLV game. And, look, it's not, I'm not going to pretend it's a big game for the Rebels, because there are no big games right now. But
no.
You did lose two games to name opponents. This is a good spot to bounce back. Rebels are a double-digit favorite here, about 10.5. Go out there and play defense. Follow the coach's game plan. Should be able to pick up a win.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, just on name recognition, like you said, with the two losses to Kansas State and Cal, they obviously were in overtime.
It's actually
games.
Three losses now. Because
I mean, overtime
UCLA
both games with Cal
good.
And Kansas State, and then the UCLA game didn't play great, obviously.
No, they got blasted in the UCLA game.
They did. Just like you said, name recognition, though, like, only giving 10.5 to a team like Abilene Christian makes me think that I'm not going to pretend, like we said, to know top to bottom roster and everything else with Abilene Christian, but play Pepperdine tough at home, a Pepperdine team that I just mentioned I actually like this year,
yep.
And went on the road to Philly and not a great Drexel squad, but that's a game where Drexel was favored and they go in there and only lose by 3. So
no, they can play a little bit.
They play a little basketball, and you said being only 10.5. Makes me think maybe the Rebels, not obviously they shouldn't take anything lightly, but
no.
Buckled down tonight and go out and get a win, like you said.
Abilene Christian, by the way, is a point guard in our height range.
I'm 5'7 as well.
He is 5'7. one of those little guys. NBA tonight, there are several games. NHL, just a pair tonight. The aforementioned Capitals Ducks game is one of them. And why am I blanking out on the other game?
The other game is Arizona.
Arizona Kings. At home against the Kings. So Arizona, you actually got two big favorites tonight in the NHL. One college game that I think we can mention here is Utah Valley, Kentucky.
Oh boy!
I mean, this could be a wrong place on the wrong night for Utah Valley.
Yeah, I mean, this is a game where they're going to collect their check and go home anyway. Ooh. But they might actually go out and earn their money tonight because, you know, Kentucky coming off that bad loss, wouldn't want to be Utah Valley tonight. No. I don't think.
By the way, the team that administered that loss is Evansville. They're at home and a small favorite tonight against SMU. And looks like Walter McCarty might have something going at Evansville. I think they might have a decent chance to beat SMU tonight, although I didn't play it.
Decent late game in the NBA. Clippers numbers down to 9. But playing the Thunder, so a few of the old Clippers, Gallinari and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander coming home to the Staples Center.
I'm sure they'll be motivated to play
a little bit.
Well.
Yeah,
we have a big football game tonight. It's an important game between the Chargers and Chiefs. We'll look at that next. It's the marquee matchup with the Wager Talks. Marco D'Angelo next.
For more angles and information, follow Ralph Michaels at CalSportsLV on Twitter.
What's hot today? It's time for the Wager Talk marquee matchup of the night with Marco D'Angelo. WagerTalk.com. Start winning now.
Yeah, start winning now because there's a lot of hot handicappers at Wager Talk. I know I'm having a very good college football season, and NHL's been real solid. Had a nice little combo -1 on the Golden Knights yesterday. And this man continues to deliver winners. Marco D'Angelo has been going extremely well for some time now. Marco, are you geared up and ready for tonight?
I am. Should be an exciting game, Dave. I hope the scoreboard operator got plenty of rest because he's busy tonight.
All right. Does that sounds like you might like the over in tonight's game.
Yeah, you look at this game, and, you know, last week, Tennessee, I'll admit, I was on Tennessee. That was one of those ones where I cashed a ticket, but it was really the wrong side. Kansas City had every opportunity to cover that game last week. And if you remember, late in the game, they were lining up to kick a field goal, go up 8 points, and then, all hell broke loose in the final minute and a half of that game. But you look at this Kansas City defense, and they really can't stop anybody right now. Tennessee had 225 yards on the ground on just 26 carries last week. We knew that Tennessee could run the football, but I didn't think they would run it that successfully as they did. The Chargers are supposed to have a running game, but it hasn't materialized this year. This is a team that's just averaging 86 yards per game on the ground. They rank 26th rushing the football. So the reason I point that out is if I'm looking for the over, I don't want the team to be running the football, and I don't think that they will be able to do that. And even if they do, Dave, this Kansas City offense is so efficient that if the Chargers fall down by 2 scores, you got to abandon that. And if Phillip Rivers is forced to play catch-up and force the issue, well, two things are going to happen. Either the Chargers are going to score or he's going to throw interceptions. And either one of those are bode well for the over. Kansas City, number 2 offensively in the league. They're averaging 6.8 yards per play. The Chargers are pretty efficient themselves. They're ranked 12th in the league at 6 yards per play. And then looking defensively, as we know, both teams rank on the second half of the chart, 17th and 18th, respectively, between San Diego. I couldn't get through one time without saying San Diego, through the L.A. Chargers and Kansas City. And I got to give Mahomes credit. He come back last week from the injury. We didn't know how effective he would be. Obviously, it wasn't an arm injury. It was an injury to the knee. But he threw for 433 yards last week in his return. The guy's just amazing. I see both teams going up and down the field. And throw in the factor of the fourth quarter. These two teams are going to be playing in altitude tonight, Dave.
Yep.
You get to that fourth quarter. If this is a track meet, that defense is going to be gassed in the fourth quarter. And I think you can get some broken coverages on the defensive side. So I just see that the only way to take this game is over the total. The game itself, I do lean to Kansas City, but I'm not going to pull the trigger there. I'm going over 52.5 tonight as the marquee matchup.
And let us know what's happening in terms of what's going on at Wager Talk. I know one thing, it's $9 Monday, and I don't have any plays up, but there are some people who do, and there might even be some big plays available for $9.
yeah, you can get there some 5% plays up there, and you know those 5% plays sell for $40. Tomorrow, those plays go back to the regular price, so grab those early plays now at $9. One other thing to remind our listeners, today is the last day for our Ring in the New Year package. Yeah. You can get pick your favorite capper at both Wager Talk and Sports Memo and get the complete coverage, all sports, through New Year's Day. That covers the big bowl day on New Year's Day for just $350. This is a $699 value, just $350. It ends tonight at midnight.
All right. Great stuff, Marco. Appreciate it, as always.
No problem, Dave. Talk to you tomorrow.
And make sure to follow Marco D'Angelo on Twitter at Marco in Vegas. You can follow Alan Harris at Big Cat Sports, cat with a K, BigKatSports. And you can also check out at Doc Sports Picks for more.
Yep.
That's actually
Doc Sports.
That
Doc
Sports.
Sports. Yeah, that's it.
Right. Because you get some really hot handicappers there. And
we
you
do,
guys,
one being myself.
You guys have a great introductory offer.
Yeah, we do. $63 if you're a new member, just as if you would have that money, you know, put into your account by your own funding. You sign up, no, just an email, no credit card, no, we're not going to call you. We don't have enough people on staff to bother you, call you, everything else. Just put the, you know, put your email in there. We'll send you a code. Type it in. You get $63 just like it was real money. You get the same guarantees. If we happen to lose, we extend you. You could, you know, put it on another cap or whatever you need to do, get another play. But customer service oriented, very good. We have one guy who does well. And if you're a new member, that's it, $63.
There you go. It's easy as that. This is a really interesting week in college football. We're going to see two teams. We'll see what happens in terms of bubble burst. Because Baylor, in just a colossal come-from-ahead collapse.
They had them.
The game's over. And Minnesota, which put up a gallant effort at Iowa but fell short, their dreams are done. So you have to be careful about teams like that this week. Baylor is most interesting because they're a favorite against Texas. Minnesota is also a favorite at Northwestern. Granted, Northwestern's a bad team, but I got to tell you, I thought Circa put up a sharp opener in this game. It was only like 7.
Oh, and, was it?
Yeah.
I did not see that.
And then it opened double figures after that. I got to tell you something. I think...
They did.
I think Circa...
They opened 7.
They've got some sharp guys down there. And this was a game where I don't think you put up a power rating number. I think you have to put up a situational number. I think their number was better than the number that's prevailing out there. Now, you have to have guts sometimes in this week.
Yeah,
and you got to take guts to
like
bet
you said,
Northwestern.
They have a few sharp young guys down there, and they're doing things. They're doing good things for the industry, so I like to see it.
I also will note that they put up a lower-than-anticipated number on the Hawaii-UNLV game. They opened at 3.5, Hawaii. It's now 6, which is not surprising. Just a couple of things to mention, and by no means am I recommending UNLV, because the game's way more important in terms of this season to San Jose State, which is trying to get bowl eligible, and the Rebels have a potential look ahead to the Cannon game against Reno. But it's the last ever UNLV game at Sam Boyd. And that could be something that fires the team up. Just be careful about some of these these situations. This is one of the weirdest weeks in college
football. Could be. I mean,
it is. I will tell you this. You got to look underdog this week,
in
my opinion.
Being in the facilities down there, I think a lot of those kids are saying good riddance, who knows?
But, you know, I've been to some old buildings
where
it was the last game before it closes, and boy, you got a big effort.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying it's going to happen here, but it's something to keep in mind. Time for us to check out our Lions Physical Therapy Play of the Day.
It's the LPT Play of the Day. Tonight's best bet from Lions Physical Therapy, your 5-star rated specialists.
All right, Alan, I'll let you fire away because I have nothing tonight. I'm taking a night off from betting.
Nothing on the board. I do have an NBA game that I'm not going to give out because Kevin Love got hurt and the number went crazy. I did like the Cavs.
About the over in the football game.
I do like that. I just said to you off the air. I like kind of wait, just a little wait and see in the beginning. If you have live betting as a thing, you know, if you get like 3-0, 6-0 first quarter, jump on like over 44, 45. Like Marco said, gas at the end. I think you're going to see a lot more points in the second half. So we'll lean over. We'll go with Marco.
Again, we're leaving a little early today because there's a bit of a technical issue. We've got to call it straight. We've got to do a reboot. Okay, so...
Reboot for Cofield.
Yeah, but then stick around. We'll be on after that. Live from Thomas and Mack with Steve Cofield leading up to tonight's UNLV Run and Rebels game. Thanks to Chuck Esposito from Sunset Station and Station Casinos. Thanks to Marco D'Angelo from Wager Talk, Alan Harris from Doc Sports, Garrett Justice, our producer. My name is Dave Cokin. Thank you most of all for listening. We'll do it again tomorrow on the Las Vegas Sportsline. Hope you have some winners tonight. And if not, hope you get some winners tomorrow night instead.